ever possible. "Mustn't damage the merchandise," said Kanina. Rincewind watched in horror as the captain went down under a press of dark shapes, screaming, "Green fire! Green fire!" Rincewind backed away. He wasn't any good at magic, but he'd had 100% success at staying alive up to now, and he didn't want to spoil the record. All he needed to do was to learn how to swim in the time it took to dive into the sea. It was worth a try. "What are you waiting for? Let's go while they're occupied," he said to Kanina. "I need a sword," she said. "You'll be spoilt for choice in a minute. One will be enough." Rincewind kicked the luggage. "Come on," he snarled. "You've got a lot of floating to do." The luggage extended its little legs with exaggerated nonchalance, turned slowly, and settled down beside the girl. "Traitor," said Rincewind to its hinges. The battle already seemed to be over. Five of the raiders stalked up the ladder to the afterdeck, leaving most of their colleagues to round up the defeated crew below. The leader pulled down his mask and leered briefly and swarthily at Kanina, and then he turned and leered for a slightly longer period at Rincewind. "This is a robe," said Rincewind quickly, "and you'd better watch out because I'm a wizard." He took a deep breath. "Lay a finger on me and you'll make me wish you hadn't. I warn you."
"A wizard? Wizards don't make good strong slaves," mused the leader.
"Absolutely right," said Rincewind. "So if you'll just see your way clear to letting me go..." The leader turned back to Kanina and signalled to one of his companions. He jerked a tattooed thumb towards Rincewind.
"Do not kill him too quickly. In fact..."
He paused and treated Rincewind to a smile full of teeth.
"Maybe. Yes. And why not? Can you sing, wizard?"
"I might be able to," said Rincewind cautiously. "Why?"
"You could be just the man the Serif needs for a job in the harem."
A couple of slavers sniggered.
"It could be a unique opportunity,"
the leader went on, encouraged by this audience appreciation. There was more broad-minded approval from behind him. Rincewind backed away. "I don't think so," he said. "Thanks all the same. I'm not cut out for that kind of thing."
"Oh, but you could be," said the leader, his eyes bright. "You could be."
"Oh, for goodness sake," muttered Kanina. She glanced at the men on either side of her, and then her hands moved. The one stabbed with the scissors was possibly better off than the one she raked with the comb, given the kind of mess a steel comb can make of a face. Then she reached down, snatched up a sword dropped by one of the stricken men, and lunged at the other two. The leader turned at the screams and saw the luggage behind him with its lid open. And then Rincewind cannoned into the back of him, pitching him forward into whatever oblivion lay in the multidimensional depths of the chest. There was the start of a bellow, abruptly cut off. Then there was a click like the shooting of the bolt on the gates of hell. Rincewind backed away, trembling. "A unique opportunity," he muttered under his breath, having just got the reference. At least he had a unique opportunity to watch Kanina fight. Not many men ever got to see it twice. Her opponents started off grinning at the temerity of a slight young girl in attacking them, and then rapidly passed through various stages of puzzlement, doubt, concern, and abject gibbering terror, as they apparently became the centre of a flashing, tightening circle of steel. She disposed of the last of the leader's bodyguards with a couple of thrusts that made Rincewind's eyes water, and with a sigh vaulted the rail onto the main deck. To Rincewind's annoyance, the luggage barreled after her, cushioning its fall by dropping heavily onto a slaver and adding to the sudden panic of the invaders, because while it was bad enough to be attacked with deadly and ferocious accuracy by a rather pretty girl in a white dress with flowers on it, it was even worse for the male ego to be tripped up and bitten by a travel accessory. It was pretty bad for all the rest of the male, too. Rincewind peered over the railing. "Show off," he muttered. A throwing knife clipped the wood near his chin and ricocheted past his ear. He raised his hand to the sudden stinging pain and stared at it in horror before gently passing out. It wasn't blood in general he couldn't stand the sight of. It was just his blood in particular that was so upsetting. The market in Sator Square, the wide expanse of cobbles outside the black gates of the university, was in full cry. It was said that everything in Ark Morpork was for sale, except for the beer and the women, both of which one merely hired. And most of the merchandise was available in Sator Market, which over the years had grown, stall by stall, until the newcomers were up against the ancient stones of the university itself. In fact, they made a handy display area for bolts of cloth and racks of charms. No one noticed the gates swing back, but a silence rolled out of the university, spreading out across the noisy, crowded square like the first fresh wavelets of the tide, trickling over a brackish swamp. In fact, it